Thank God for yesterday afternoon. I wonder how many of you were not here for the dedication of our ANA. 10 months of hard work and 10 months of inconvenience, and we saw all the beautiful results. Let's all say thank God. He's given us so many blessings. And as I mentioned yesterday, this is our final. You will not be able to build sideways or upwards anymore. Pandan is full, saturated. Matthew chapter 5 is one of the most difficult passages of Scripture to understand. Then you say, how can I understand it? Answer, pray to the Lord. Please understand, we cannot understand the deep truths of God except the teacher, comforter, instruct us. So let's read just 3 verses about our double blessing. If you have not been blessed, if you feel you are a born loser, everything in your life goes against you, especially after you became a Christian, things go wrong. Why should I become a Christian and suffer? And so on. Verse 10, Matthew 5:10. Blessed. What do you mean by blessed? If you want to use a more colloquial and common term, it's happy. All right? Now try it again. Happy are they. Now we are substitute to you. Happy are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for that yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now this is the first promise of blessing. Sounds absurd, isn't it? This is called a paradox. Difficult word, uncommonly used, yet it is full of meaning. Paradox. It seems absurd. When you hear it, they say, ridiculous. People persecute you and you say, I am happy. Ridiculous. And yet, when you pause and meditate and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, please, teach me how it is that when I became a Christian and my neighbors began to ridicule me, to ostracize or to bypass me or even to do unkind things to me, then I examine myself. Hey, why are they doing these things? Because maybe they see me going to church, carrying a Bible, or witnessing to them, and they now begin to persecute. What do you do? Don't be depressed. Provided it is not because you are funny, that you are ill-treating your neighbors or your friends. No, if you suffer for that, that's your own business, your own fault. Now read again. Happy are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If there is something you have done which is righteous, correct, and just, and people get angry with you, don't retaliate. Get angry with them and make enemies for nothing. It says here, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Meaning to say what? Today you don't see the blessing. Today you feel down because people persecute, because you are doing God's work. But your blessing and your reward is coming. And we must learn to have that higher view, spiritual view. otherworldly view. You don't just live at the level and plane of this world, counting your social connections, how people treat you at the social level, your prestige, your friends who desert you, and you get depressed. Please understand, we have a friend who never forsakes us. And he's saying to you this morning, you want to be happy? Look, if you are ever persecuted because of your righteousness, because you stand for the truth, for the faith, because you witness, because you will not compromise, because you take a stand on the word of God, be happy. Even though you may not feel it today, you may not see it today. Today, what do you have when you are persecuted? Tell me, what do you have? What compensation do you have? Consolation. Talk to yourself. Answer. The comfort of Scripture. Yeah? The promises of God in Scripture. I read my word of God and it says, blessed are you if people persecute you for righteousness' sake. And you know that you never did anything wrong. And people are persecuting, you say, thank God. Right? Today I have God's promises. In the day to come, I shall receive that reward when I'm free from this worldly scene. We must live always above the world, dear friends. How can you do it? It's not easy. This whole Sermon on the Mount, preached by our Lord Jesus, is to translate us from that low worldly level of society, how they esteem people because of their social status, because of their mutual advancement. You pat me on the back, I pat you on the back, and we all get on. We must not live at that level. The Lord says, rise above it. I'm talking to you about a greater kingdom, not the world. Do not live for the world. Do not live for the things that are seen. The things which are seen are temporal. Very fleeting, transient. The rewards of earth are material, carnal, sensual, transitory. Very soon they are off. Please, as we hear the Lord's word say, Heavenly Father, help us that we will see through all these things. They are immaterial. The most important thing is, blessed are you if it is for righteousness' sake, because you are convicted of your sins and you repent and people think you are mad. Yes. There's this group of thieves, robbers. I've been reading a little pamphlet. And I'm going to tell the story in detail tonight. I hope you'll come. But you know, they robbed and killed. And among the loot that they took was a Bible. And one of them began to read the Bible. Why did they save the Bible? They say, oh, the Bible paper is thin enough to make cigarettes. Can roll cigarettes because they're thin. But before they did that, they began to read. And the Word of God began to convert them, change them. That the whole attitude of this group of thieves, one by one, got changed until they were removed out of their level of robbing and they all wanted to repent. Amazing. Live beyond, above this world, dear friends. And live for the kingdom of heaven. Are you thinking of the kingdom of heaven every day? My dear friends, the year is nearly over. November 6th. So soon it'll be December, Christmas, New Year again, and then we go spinning around. Have you grown this year, spiritually speaking? Have you grown in stature, in the understanding of God's Word? Have you read through the Bible this year? Are you reading? Are you meditating? Are you praying? Oh, my friends, some call me the holy nagger. I say, yes, nagging is good. If you nag for a good cause, and I pray for you to have patience, patience, and let me continue to nag you. To remind you, that is the purpose of the watchman. The pastor is here to remind you, that is my business. If I don't, on the judgment day, you say, my pastor never told me to read my Bible, never urged me, never provoked me to read my Bible. What do I say on that day, on the before the judgment seat of Christ? I say, please, let us all provoke ourselves to read the Word of God. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. You know, I did a bit of research in the dictionary. Because revile is a difficult word, isn't it? To say things evil about you falsely. And how about that? When you hear somebody say things like that, you get very uptight, isn't it? Get angry. But if they say these things falsely for Jesus' sake, then you're very blessed. Again, a contradictory statement. Paradox. If people badmouth me, I get so mad at them, right? When we begin to live at this level, the higher level, the heavenly level, the spiritual level, and you are badmouthed because of your faith, because of your witness as a Christian, because you have dared to say something good for the Lord Jesus Christ and people badmouth you, what do you do? He says, don't be depressed, please. Don't. Rejoice. Blessed are you. Who says it? The Lord Jesus, to all of us. Let us therefore go and witness for him. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? Do you seize every opportunity to tell someone about the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you so afraid, so shy, tight-lipped, dare not say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? We live in a world and a day where the Lord Jesus has become a swear word. Somebody says, hey, how come God's called his son by a swear word, Jesus? Because all he knows about Jesus is people swear the word of Jesus. And they can't understand how come God must call his son by a swear word. Oh, my friends, magnify the name of Jesus. Go and tell, live for him. If need be, suffer for him. To die for him, unlikely, unlikely. But if we can all live for him, let's do so. And if people will revile you, let me turn you to one verse where it is so wonderful. Our Lord Jesus was reviled. The most famous passage we always read at Lord's Supper is Isaiah 53, right? Verse 7, please turn there. And then we will rejoice. Why? Because our Lord Jesus was reviled. And he is our great example. Live because he lived that way, you live that way. Jesus never used a harsh word on anyone who did not deserve it. But we are so free with our vocabulary, we scold people undeservedly, don't we? Now, what is revile? To put it simply, it's bad mouth. Talk bad about people. Falsely. Gossip. All these things. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 7. You like to read with me. This is so precious. Let's all read together. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before his shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. They reviled him. They scolded him. They spat on him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Did he retaliate? Learn a lesson here. If people revile you, badmouth you, send lawyers letters to threaten you, what do you do? I thank all those who said, I'm praying for you. There's so many who said and wrote. I want to thank all of you. Pastor, take heart. We are praying for you. I say, thank God. The Lord Jesus was reviled. If I'm reviled, oh, no big deal, dear friends, no big deal. He was a son of God, and yet he took it. It says he was reviled, and he reviled not. He did not retaliate. Why should you retaliate? Why should you get angry? No need to. Why? Because your reward is in heaven. The Lord knows all about your problem. You don't have to worry. People ask me, are you worried? I say, about what? I said, the Lord knows all my problems which are brought upon me for nothing. Reviled because of your witness, because of your godly activity, I have nothing to worry, nothing to fear. Do you sleep well? I said, super well. So I say the same to all of us here. Our Lord Jesus is a best example, always. You get depressed, come and read Isaiah 53:7. After reading that, I say, you don't need to see the doctor to eat antidepressant pill, you know. What for to take all those medicines? The Bible is the best medicine. If you have any problem, come to the Word of God, and then you will be comforted. If my Lord was afflicted and he opened not his mouth, why should I go round and cry to others? If he was reviled and he reviled not again, he didn't answer his enemies, who am I? Why should I? So, dear friends, any of you in such a situation, go to the cross of Jesus. And there, look to the Savior and say, Lord, you died to carry all my sins and my problems. Please look into this one. Take it over from me. After that, you have peace. So, dear friends, back to Matthew 5. There is a bit of a cold flu. I don't think it's bird flu, but it's going around. So you can hear my voice a bit like a bird now. Verse 12. Rejoice, oh my friends. Why do you rejoice? Some people are hoping they'll hit the toto. If they hit it, they rejoice. I say, how foolish. Joys on earth because of monetary gain, unfair monetary gain, undeserved. Don't. No point. Strive for the heavenly riches that none can take away. Moth, rust, thieves cannot get at it. Joy is in heaven. Rewards coming. Now, verse 12 says, rejoice, be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. They will persecute. There's nothing that will stop evil men persecuting. Why? Because these things are sent to try you. We live in a sinful world, and you are not in a vacuum, you know. And these things are inevitable. Evil men. raising legal action. What does it matter if my Lord had to go before Pilate to be tried unfairly, condemned, and taken to the cross? What have I suffered? Nothing. Nothing but comparison. What have you suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me frankly, what have you suffered? I say, pray that God will use you to be more daring to go for Him. So the prophets before us have suffered. We are nothing. Today, we are at a very critical time of this church, and I will not want to keep you too long because I have other things to tell you. Because of the election to come, and there are things I ought to tell you, so I will now wind up the sermon. You say, too short. I'll make up another day. But we have a lot of agendas here. I got to tell you. It is part of my pastoral duties to you. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. And God's word will comfort you even more. Romans 8. 35 to 37. Romans 8, 35. Whenever you feel down because you've met with persecution and people revile you because of righteousness' sake, because of your Christian witness, rejoice. Turn to Romans 8, 35. Because no matter what your situation is, there is one thing that does not change. One thing. You change, people change, circumstances change. One thing does not change: the love of Christ for you. The Lord who loved you and died for you and saved you and goes with you every day. He promised, I'm with you every day. Now that love does not change. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? When you are down, turn to this verse and say, Lord, I feel so down. Do you still love me? Paul went through all those sufferings. Who has suffered more than Paul in persecution and being reviled? I dare say, after the Lord Jesus, very few like Paul suffered. Paul suffered. And I say, if you do suffer, thank God, we are in good company. You are in the company of the Lord Jesus. You are in the company of Paul the Apostle and all those prophets, all those Reformation fathers who suffered and who died for their faith. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Read now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Because of tribulation, cut you off from love of Christ? Answer, impossible. My Lord doesn't change. My Lord doesn't desert me. He's always with me. And His love for me is constant. Can you remember this, please? No matter who you are, whatever your situation is, the Lord who loves you until the end with the everlasting love and does not desert you. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress? Here the next word is persecution. Oh, my friends, rejoice if men should persecute you because of a Christian faith. Because the love of God does not decrease and it does not leave you. It is under those circumstances that you feel wonderful love of God still with me. Even if the whole world were to desert me, I know the Lord does not. His love is constant. Famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all these things cannot separate you from the what? Love of God in Christ Jesus. So thank God every day. Our reward today is the love of God you can feel today. In the day to come, the everlasting abode and presence of God, you can live with Him. That is the reward, the ultimate reward. Unending, undefiled, preserved for you for that day. Look forward to it. Work for it. Pray for it. Every day, think about it. If necessary, dream about it. What? The everlasting reward we have in the heavenly home. That is your reward, the final reward. If you are persecuted today, reviled by people, bad mouth, and receive all kinds of threatening letters, rejoice if it is for righteousness' sake. And I say with that, I rejoice every day. Verse 36, as it is written, for my sake, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And one final verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this one will cap our meditation for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10. Here is Paul's testimony. I say, anyone who is depressed or in any way upset. Yeah. People come and tell me, I'm so upset with you, angry with you. I say, oh, thank God. If I can cause you to be upset because I'm telling you the truth, praise God. All right. Now, what is this verse? 2 Corinthians 12, please turn there. 7 to 10, and this will give us the final comfort. Absolute assurance, please stand your ground. Serve the Lord. Praise Him every day. Don't give up because of persecution, because there's somebody who's bad-mouthed you. No. What does it say? Verse 7. Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations given to him. You know, he was so blessed to have those revelations, which he said, I cannot tell you, because they were given under certain condition of secrecy. I've seen, but I cannot tell you what those revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Wow, what persecution from Satan, you know. This thorn in the flesh is a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That is the crunch line, dear friends. What is it? Are you depressed? Because of persecution? Because of your faith? Bad-mouthing by people? Reviling? And you feel down? Don't. The Lord says to you, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now Paul then, having received this immense and wonderful assurance from the Word of God, from the Lord Himself, I say, whoever you are upstairs there, if you have a problem, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Can you remember that verse? Mark it in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. You're so weak, but I give you strength. My strength makes you perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, verse 10 is the conclusion. It's so good. You read with me, please. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. For when I'm down, then I'm uplifted. Is that great? This is the conclusion of this morning's meditation. Double blessing if people persecute you, revile you, for righteousness' sake, for the Lord's sake. Here is the answer. Therefore, I take pleasure even in them. Why? Because this is God's will for me. Yes, in reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake, if my Savior has done so much for me, died for me, opened the way for me, blesses me, teaches me, walks with me every day as my Savior and my friend, and He promises, I am with you all the way till the end. I say, what does it matter? Persecution? Nothing. Reviling? Nothing. None of these things move me. Only Jesus, always Jesus. When I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, speak to our hearts this morning as we have waited on Thee. May Thy Holy Spirit impress on our hearts and minds what is true blessedness, true happiness that transcends this world. Give it to us, Lord, that we may rise above circumstances, rise above difficulties, rise above every obstacle of life, to know that in Jesus Christ we have the victory. Amen.